I love, 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 love our worship team, guys. And the reason I love them is not because of their skill set, although they are very, very talented, very anointed. Talent's cheap. I watched talent my whole life. I paid money and went to the Omni, just dated myself, and the Little Five Points in different places like that, and I saw amazing talent. But there's a big difference when you see the anointing on somebody's life. And they use it for Him. That's the difference. Because I remember the first time I saw Lenny Kravitz. I leaned over to Lori. He opened up, I think, for Aerosmith. And I leaned over to Lori and I said, that boy has been around the presence of God at some point in his life, somewhere. I don't know anything about, very little about his background. I know he's amazingly gifted. But I said, he's anointed. He wasn't using it for the kingdom, but he was still anointed. And when you get around people that are anointed and they're using it for the kingdom, and then you see through and you know their hearts, whew, it ushers in something, brother. It ushers in something. And y'all contend for that. The Word tells us to contend for our hearts. It says, above all else, guard your heart. I'll slip the word contend there. It says contend for the faith, contend for our faith, contend for the faith of others. But he tells us, he says, above all else, guard your heart. Contend for your heart. And so I want to encourage you guys. I'm speaking specifically to our worship team right now. I want to encourage you guys to guard your heart and contend for your heart. Contend for that. Noah, contend for that purity. When we were singing, "You Are Beautiful, Lord," and Madeline was singing it, and I think Madeline's an amazingly beautiful girl. And it's not from James and Kami. She's a pretty girl, but she's a beautiful girl. And there's a difference. And the thing that is beautiful about her to me is I believe I can look through, because I've been around her so much, and I believe I can see the beauty of her heart. And I can see, I told James a few weeks ago, I said, man, your kids, they get it. They get it. That they get it, what this faith journey's about. And to me, the thing that makes the Lord beautiful is, yeah, we can read Revelation and we can see the hair like wool and all of the different attributes of the Lord. We can see His handiwork and all. But the thing that makes the Lord so beautiful to me is His faithfulness to me, His love for me, His heart toward me. He looked on me when I was indifferent to Him. After I was saved. And he never changed His mind about me. And that is what is amazingly beautiful about the Lord. And so I want to encourage everybody in here, not just the worship team, I want to encourage all you guys to contend for your heart. Contend for the purity in your life. That our motives would be pure. That we would try to be so pure in our thoughts and deeds and actions and attitudes and everything. And that's something to contend for, guys. That's something to contend for. I ran across a quote this week that I really liked. It was from Mark Twain. And the quote said, the two most important days in a person's life is the day that he was born. I think his actual quote is, the day that you were born and the day that you find out why. And this is coming from Mark Twain, the two most important days in a person's life is the day you were born, and the second most important is the day you find out why. And I believe we can take that and transpose that into our spiritual journey. And I believe the two most important days, I've always said that, you know, coming in and getting my things lined up and all of that, and the two most important days of my life are the day that I was saved, and then the second was the day that I married Lori, and the third was the day the kids were born, and, you know, all of that stuff. And there's a lot of truth to that. But in reality, I could not be near what I'm supposed to be to her if I never find out why I was born again. And so I believe we can take that. We can take that quote from Mark Twain. It's the two most important days in our life is the day that we were born again and the day we find out why we were born again. Who we were born again to. Who we were born again for. I was listening to the, watching the YouTube of last Sunday's service. I really enjoyed it. The worship was good. Just everything was really, really good. And I really enjoyed the word that Brother Nick brought. And the Lord spoke to me personally and really challenged me in the word. Y'all go ahead and turn to Mark 4 right quick, if you will. I'm not going to preach too long. I don't have the stamina to stand up here too long, so y'all lucky today. Be warned as I get strengthened back up. I usually don't let other people preach 3 out of 4 weeks, but I know y'all got good word from all of it. Love those men that stood in this pulpit. So thankful for them. So thankful for God bringing them into my life and into this house's life. But as Nick was preaching last week and he was talking, and this is this scripture is found in 3 of the 4 Gospels. As Nick was preaching last week, he was talking about us coming in and us calming the storms in other people's lives, and it's not just about us and all of that, and just so agreed and all of that, and it's amen, you know, because I believe that we do live in a culture and a society that where everything's about us and everything's about the way I feel and what's happening in my life. And I look at my God, and the more I learn about my God and study my God and His Word and what the way His He has dealt with His people through the years. And when I say dealt, I don't mean dealt in a harsh way. I mean the way that He has lived among His people and with His people through the biblical word that we see is that I marvel that, and y'all have heard me say this many, many, many times, that God is such a generational God. He speaks of the kairos, and He moves in the kairos, which is the moment in time that changes the way that we view the rest of time. But He speaks and He moves in kairos as it relates to the future. He comes and He makes covenant with Abraham. And He said, look at the stars in the sky, and that's the way your seed will be. Look at the sand, consider the sand of the sea, and that's the way your seed will be. And yet Abraham only had the one legitimate heir. And God was speaking in the moment, but He was also speaking about the thing that is released. At the point God said, let there be light, there was an exact moment that I believe that light leapt out of His mouth. But our scientific studies, one thing that I learned in science that I retained in science is that light moves at the speed of 186,000 miles per second, and the universes are ever expanding. It's because God never took it back. He set it in motion. And I believe and I am convinced that as God comes in and God deals with us, He deals with us in a kairos moment now, but He's dealing with us from a generational and a future aspect. He looks at me and He does not just see me, but He sees my seed. He sees those that come behind me. He came in and He spoke this to Abraham and He said, consider your seed. Look at them. He said, in your seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed. The first prophecy God spoke in the book of Genesis was the prophetic word that the seed of the woman would bless all of humanity. And he was speaking, of course, through Christ and the work on Calvary's cross. But it came out of that moment in time. It was released in that Kairos moment, and it became that seed that would spill forth out of that. It became the generational thing. He spoke the same thing to Isaac. Even though Isaac was just had a limited number, he spoke it to Jacob, and his thing kept expanding as Jacob had the 12 sons that we see, and God changed his name to Israel, and we see God coming in and God speaking and setting these things in motion from a generational standpoint. When he spoke to Saul, King Saul, and he established him as king over Israel, he gave Israel the desire of her heart, and he established him as king over Israel. You know what he told him? He said that if you will continue to follow me and pursue me, your seed, and if your seed, if there's a continuity in your family, he said, your seed will never fail to sit on this throne. We all know that Saul screwed that up. God's heart doesn't change, but we can screw things up sometimes. Okay? I want you to know that. Because what we'll do is we'll come in and we'll think, like, God is so sovereign and God is so awesome and all that. I can't mess this up. You can cause yourself a lot of pain. You can cause yourself a lot of heartache. You can cause the generations behind you to either come through in some amazing, more than momentum, but a continuation of what God started and established in you, or you can cause a serious roadblock that they will have then to overcome. But he spoke the same thing to David. He came in and he said, your seed will not fail to sit on the throne. Did God lie in that? No, God did not lie in that. Was that his heart? Absolutely, that was his heart. But we do have that capacity. And so I just want to kind of lay that out as a groundwork, because I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the consistency of our lives. I want to talk about continuity in our lives. As a child growing up, the greatest advantage that I had was that there was such a continuity in my home life. My entire life of being on this earth, my entire life, there was never a day when my parents did not love Jesus and did not love each other. Never a day. Never a day. There was never a lapse. They never quit on God. They never got out of church. It was a given. This is who we are. It wasn't just this is what we do. It's this is who we are. I love the fact that my parents, even as they got older, and my mom's 84 now, and my dad would be 88 if he were still alive. But the thing that I absolutely loved about my parents when they were, before he passed, when he was 84, you know, I would see them as and they wouldn't even know we're around, but I would see them out in the backyard taking walks, holding each other's hand. There was such love and affection and honor and respect among them. There was such a consistency and continuity that was modeled before me. And that was my privilege. You know, we hear a lot today about social privilege and economic privilege and all of that. That was my privilege, that I was born into a kingdom family. If you weren't, that does not disqualify you. That just means you're first generation instead of second generation. Okay? So let it start with you. Let it start with you. But I had this amazing consistency, and there was never a day where there was any wonder about their love for each other, their commitment for each other. There was never a day where I wondered about their work ethic. Because my mama's still about work us to death. I'm like, back off, Mom. You really want a 2-acre garden? You know, we had this crazy race going on trying to get her garden plowed up so she could put in turnips and collards before I had surgery. Didn't happen, so now Rhett's going to have to do it next week. But there was a consistency and a continuity of a work ethic that was there. And I see this same thing about Yahweh. I see this same thing about Jesus. There was not a seasonal aspect to him. There was a thing, there's this thing about God that he says, man, I change not. Throughout the word, you get your Strong's Concordance and look at it. He says, I change not. There's this continuity and consistency about God. And the Lord spoke something to me. I'm going to kind of bounce back and forth a little bit. The Lord spoke something to me specifically when I was listening to last week's sermon by Brother Nick. And he was talking about Jesus, and Jesus was calming the storm for somebody else and all that. And we all say yes and amen and agree. In my mind, at least, I can't speak for anybody else, but in my mind, at least, I always thought of, well, man, we're going through this storm together. And sometimes we're going through this storm together, and so I've got to help calm this storm for you. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, this wasn't Jesus' storm. The wind and waves, as boisterous as they were, this was not a storm to Jesus. And I find myself being in the place that if we're going through something together, that I can connect with that. And I can help you through this storm because, brother, we're going through it together. But you know where the disconnect often comes in? It's when you're going through a storm that I'm not going through. I'll be honest with you guys. The coronavirus thing has not been a storm for our household. And I'm not saying that from a bragging standpoint. It just hadn't. It's not been a storm to us at all. It's upended some travel plans. I mean, boo-hoo. You know, I didn't get to go to Canada this year. You know, that's nothing. But as far as but in saying that, it has been a big storm in a lot of other people's lives. And the consistency that I see in Jesus, the consistency that I see in Yahweh, is that He is there in the midst, in His place of faithfulness, regardless if it's His storm or if it's not His storm. He so patterns consistency. There was never a doubt when the disciples, and many of these guys were professional fishermen. They were in a relatively large boat. And I say relatively large because it said that a lot of other people, if you study the context, and we'll read the scripture in just a second, I promise. If you study the context in this, it says that a lot of other people were crossing them across the sea. They were going over to Gadara, to the Gadarenes, and they were going over there. And a lot of other people got in boats and started following them. It said they were in smaller vessels. So I don't know if they were in little dinghies or what, but they were coming. And if the storm was big to the disciples in a medium-sized vessel, I imagine the storm was massive in people that were not even in that tight relationship in the inner circle of Jesus. But the consistency of Jesus, the consistency of God, is that He's there even if it's not even His storm. It's not, hey guys, we'll pull through this together because I'm here. It was the thing that, man, the Word says that He was asleep on a pillow. It wasn't a storm to Him. There's things in my life that I disconnect from because I don't consider them a storm. We come in and it's like, I don't understand what the big deal is. Because it's not a storm to us. Sometimes I find myself disconnecting from not that I don't have empathy toward them, but disconnecting from people that are maybe struggling in marriage and all of that because there's no struggles in this. It's a foreign concept to me. I never saw it patterned before me, and I've never lived in it in 40 years of being with this amazing woman over here. You'll be able to stand up here and say the same thing in another 40 years. You say, man, Robin's celebrating 40 years today. There's never been a day of withered leaf. There's never been a shadow of turning. But it doesn't mean that there are not legitimate storms in other people's lives. And the thing about us being consistent, I mean, is really being consistent, is not that we say, man, we're going to lock arms because we're going through something together, but it's when I am so consistent that I live in this place where people can look to me and they can turn to me because I am what? Allowing Jesus to live through me, and I'm modeling something in that consistency thing, the continuity thing, what they say, I know where to turn. And these guys turned to Jesus because they knew He was there. They hadn't been with Him long. This was early in His ministry. Later again, they come and they cry out as Jesus is coming across when He's walking on the water. But this is early in the ministry. But already they knew there was something different about Him. in this instance right here, they marveled and said, what manner of man is this? They hadn't even got the full revelation. They believed he was a Messiah, but it hadn't got embedded in them yet. Let's read this scripture right quick, and I want to kind of spin this for just a second, and then we'll go home and we'll say Salah and let it soak in, okay? A reflective pause. We're in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. I think Nick was in Matthew 8 last week, right, Nick? Isn't that where you were? It's found there in Matthew 8, and it's also found in Luke 8. In Mark's gospel, it says, in the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. It was Jesus' idea to get in the boat. A lot of times we think God's hung us out to dry because he's promised. We see all these amazing promises and we hear all these pastors and ministers and all these people of faith, and they stand up and they're like, this is what God says and this is what God does and this is who God says he is. And we said, okay, I'll try it. And all of a sudden we get in a boat and a storm comes in our life. That really happens sometimes, guys. Storms will come. The enemy will come against you. He's going to attack you. He hit me. I've never had anxiety attacks or anything. The closest I've ever had to an anxiety attack was I was on an airplane going to California to a worship conference. And my hand started swelling. And I had a gold wedding ring that was too small. And my hand started swelling. And I couldn't get the ring off. And I freaked out. I mean, I did. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't get in my, they're going, is and it just, I don't, it was a claustrophobia type thing with me. I'm serious. I know that's weird. It was weird to me because I'm not that kind of guy. And, you know, so I kind of just endured through the flight and all that. And we got to the hotel room in downtown LA. And man, I was in there with soap and cold water and all of that, you know, about ripped my knuckles off, getting it off. Hadn't put it on since, you know. Lori's like, hey, do you like this cool tungsten ring? I said, no, this flexible one works great. I dig it. If it breaks, I'll buy another one. So I wear the flexible ones and all that. But I've never been one of those guys. But the enemy came against me last week about a day and a half after the surgery. And y'all know how your body does after you've been through anesthesia. It's like everything just, it takes a while to get going. Y'all following me? And I'm sitting here and I can't use the bathroom. I'm having to take pain pills every few hours. And my body just isn't doing what I want it to do. You know, I can't feel my leg right in here, except for a nerve that got bruised or clipped or something out there, and it's just burning like liquid fire, you know, and I'm sitting there saying an enemy comes in and it's like, you have no control over your body. I'm serious. I didn't even tell Lori this. She saw it. And it was at night. And I had to come in and I defeated the enemy and I overcame it. And you know how I did it? By praise. And I'm not that guy that's all, you know, fragile. I'm not a fragile dude at all. I'm kind of like the other end of the spectrum. But I had to just start worshiping. I had to just, immediately I got my phone and I just started worshiping and I turned on worship music and I just started worshiping the Lord. And you know what happened? It fled. It had to flee. But what the Lord is trying to teach us, I believe, as a people, as maturing sons and daughters, is the thing of why we're here. Why are we saved? Two most important days, the day we were born again and the day we find out why. And it's more than about me just doing well and accumulating things. It's more than me just taking cool trips and seeing cool stuff. It's about the it's more than just the generational of my family. I just finished reading like maybe 50 pages of this massive book on the Lewis and Clark expedition. And that's one thing I've been reading while I've been laid up. And it's just really a fascinating account and everything. But in that time, in 1804, 1805, 1806, in those years, the way that they, a big thing was they had just made the Louisiana Purchase, and a big thing was, how much did we just buy? Because they came in and they bought the tributaries, not only the land that the Missouri encompassed, the Missouri River and the Mississippi River encompassed, but all the tributaries that fed into it. And so a big part of Lewis and Clark's expedition was not only to make it to find a route to the Pacific and to come back, but to find out how much of this land did we get to the 49th parallel. And everywhere he went, Lewis, they taught him how to take these geographical measurements based on where the stars were. And everything was determined by fixed points that God had placed in the sky. And without those fixed points, they could take no measurements. They would sit at some places 2 or 3 days waiting for the weather to clear, just so he felt it was so important to make those fixed points to see, are we still under the 49th parallel? And God really spoke to me in that, and he's speaking to me in that right now. And the part of the reason I'm here, part of the reason that I believe that you are on this faith journey, that God is trying to grow you guys up. You know, me and Lori have an amazing marriage. You know what? That's just fruit of what God's doing in my life and fruit of what God's doing in her life. That's just a fruit of it. That's not the end game. That's just a natural thing that happens. Our financial blessing, that's not the end game. That's just the fruit of what naturally happens. But the Lord really speaking to me right now. He's like, part of why you were born again. Find out why I'm here. Part of that is to be this consistent object that people can look at, people can navigate off of, people can figure out where they are and figure out where they need to be, because you are unmoving and you are unshakable. Because he's unmoving and he's unshakable. And the cool thing about this was it wasn't just relevant in 1805. The first time we went to Patagonia, I couldn't wait to see the Southern Cross. I'd heard songs about it. Sailors used it and all that stuff. A little bit disappointed, I'll be honest with you. It wasn't just like, oh, wow, I've got this amazing epiphany because I saw the Southern Cross. But Lori's got an app on her phone, and the kids can, even in our backyard, they got up there last night, and they can look up and they can see things, and this app on her phone will tell them what this is and this is and this is and this is this constellation and this is this star and all of these things. And they are fixed, definitive points that are unchanging. And God said, that's what I want you to be. I want you to be that constant. I want you to be that continuity. A lot of times we're bipolar in our faith. And God said, I want you to be consistent, and I want you to be unwavering, and I want you to be unshakable, and I want you to be unmovable, because Jesus was. Did I read all of that? I didn't even read all that scripture, did I? Let's go back to it. Y'all are in trouble. My strength is being renewed. I'm good. And when they had sent away the multitude, verse 36, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into these ships so that it was now full. This boat was full, and Jesus is still asleep. You know why? Because it wasn't a storm to him. Jesus had storms. I don't want you to think you're not going to be without storms. Jesus had a storm when he was spent 40 days fasting in the wilderness, and the devil came and tempted him. Because when he won and he overcame, it said that the angels came and ministered to him. He had a storm in the Garden of Gethsemane. Don't think that you're going to be storm-proof. We sang about that in a song that I love, Another in the Fire. You're not going to be, but you are going to be stormproof. You're going to get hit with storms, but you're going to endure storms. Unshakable, unmovable. There should be nothing that comes into your life that should come in and drive anything between you guys. Nothing whatsoever. No circumstance. I promise you, you'll probably go through some junk. But don't let it come in and Tyler's going through junk and Ambry's going through junk. We're going through junk. We're going through junk together. And we've got a constant. And we've got a consistent, and we've got continuity in our life. And that's our commitment to the Lord and the fact that He's in us and He's that third strand of the cord. And He's binding us together. And our hearts are already knit together and all of this. And in that, man, you can walk through anything. Apostle Paul said, I've learned how to be abased and I've learned how to abound. We've gone through a lot of junk in our lives. Not junk between each other, but junk together. A lot of junk. And instead of driving a wedge, it galvanized us. And so I want you to understand that every storm that you go through is going to have the effect of galvanizing you. Because when Jesus came out of the wilderness, the word said that Satan left him for a season, but when he came out of the wilderness experience, he immediately launched into a dynamic earthly ministry, powerful earthly ministry. And it was one of consistency and continuity. And so the storm comes in and it beats in it and it starts filling the boat, but it was not a storm for him. Verse 38 says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And it didn't say that he got up and scolded him and rebuked him and all of that stuff. He took care of the storm first. That's how much he cares for you. He gave him a mild rebuke later and said, where's your faith? You should be able to calm the storm. That was the rebuke, is you should be able to calm the storm going on in your life. The other night when the enemy tried to attack me with an anxiety attack, and I really think that's only the second time that's ever happened in my life, but it was legit. I mean, I felt it, and I knew to get into the Word. I knew to get into worship because I knew that the enemy could not resist that. He couldn't resist that. So the storms that are there, we are equipped and we are filled and we are established and grounded enough that we should be able to weather these, endure these, overcome these, and be victorious over these. But Jesus is coming in and they woke him up. And he got up and it said he rebuked the wind and he said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, not by the storm, but they were, I don't know that that's a great translation, they feared exceedingly, not that they were scared of Jesus, but they were in awe of Jesus. And they said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They would soon come to find out. They may not know the entirety of who you are in the moment, but they'll know there's something different about you. Our guy in Utah a couple weeks ago, and we had a couple powerful moments separately with our guide and a spotter that Lori was actually riding with. But about 3 days into it, our guide was like, man, I've been watching you guys. And he said, y'all ain't like most people I'm around. He said, there's something different about y'all. He said, I can tell the way y'all love each other. He said, he used this word. He said, I can tell the way y'all honor each other. He used that word. That blew. I stepped back. I knew it was a God moment when he said that, because that wasn't his normal vocabulary. He handled himself well. He wasn't one of those loudmouth cussers or anything like that. He handled himself well. He was professional. But I knew it was a God moment in that moment, and so I used that opportunity and I began to just share with him about who we were and about Yahweh and about His love for us and all that. And it got, man, I told y'all a couple weeks ago, it got, I was just snotting going down the mountain. We had a 45-minute Polaris ride down this, these little goat trails. And I'm sitting there and I apologized to him 2 or 3 times. I'm said, man, I'm sorry, I ain't got it. He said, no, man, that's good. I mean, I was just over one of them just snotting cries for a half hour. Tell them about the goodness of the Lord and the faithfulness of the Lord. And the Lord is, man, if you will, the Lord's our North Star that we can navigate off of. The word says when they ask you for the reason of your hope. And I thank God I've got an answer for that, Linda. When they asked me for the reason of my hope, I didn't say, well, man, I guess I was just born into privilege. I can come in and I can say, let me tell you the source of my hope. And it originates in heaven and it looks like Jesus. And it feels like grace. And that has got to be the constant in our life, guys. Unwavering and unshakable. And that was the constant, that was the continuity in Jesus. That he never wavered from that. And I just want to, I can't impress on you guys enough for that. Because I want to tell you something, the way that we can come in and calm somebody else's storm, the way that we can relate to somebody else's storm that is not our storm, because that's always been the disconnect in my life. If we're going through a storm together, brother, man, we can get in there and we can plow through this thing and I can help you. But if you're going through a storm that ain't even a storm to me, then I'm just kind of like, I'm lobbing hand grenades over there. Man, I touch them, Lord. Be strong in their life, Lord. But I never get in and lock arms and engage. I never buoy them, strengthen them. And so I want you to understand, in part of our journey of the second most important day is finding out why we were born, part of this whole thing of why was I born again, this is part of it. That I am a navigable, that's the right word, isn't it? Navigable. That's, we'll pretend like it is. That is the right word. I am a navigable constant that people can look at. A navigable constant. That if I don't see anybody in 5 years, there should never be a wonder of, is he still serving God? Is he still married to her? Are his kids still good girls? What do their lives look like? A navigable point of constant. That's what you should look like, Nick. That's what these kids are looking for. It's what this fatherless generation out there is looking for. I'll never forget when Bobby Bowden came and spoke. I wasn't there, but you told me. When Bobby Bowden came in, Lisa told me the same thing. When Bobby Bowden came and spoke at the Carrollton Banquet Touchdown Club, whatever, FCA, something down there. And somebody asked Bobby Bowden, they said, what's the difference in the kids you coach now? This was his last year of coaching. What's the difference in the kids you coach now and the kids you coached 20 years ago? And this was the point of all the arrest happening at Florida State and all these other places and people getting kicked out of the program and this and this and all the junk going on. And Bobby Bowden, he made the astute statement that there's no difference in the kids. He said the kids are the same. He said, but the kids today are growing up without a father. And he said the kids 20 years ago had a dad in the house. And so there's a fatherless generation out there that they want to see, that they are looking for a navigable point of constant. I believe the church is looking for a navigable point of constant. I believe God breathed on that phrase right there. A navigable point of constant. You can say consistency, but it's unmoving, it's unchanging. They want to see that this works. That's why I admire Bill Johnson so much, because I've sat and I've watched him for 20-something years, and he has been unchanging, and he's been unshakable, and he has been consistent, he has been constant, and his yes 30 years ago is his same yes today. Maybe it's a little more emphatic today even. That's why I look to him as a spiritual father. Because he's a navigable point of constant. He's rooted and grounded in his faith and his relationship with our Lord Jesus. And I promise you, the world is looking for that. These kids you deal with every week, Nick, they're looking for that. They're looking for that. They may not know how to articulate it, and they may not, you know, but they're looking for that. They're looking for more than just a role model. More than just a role model. Somebody that's unchanging. I want to be evolving in my faith. I want to be evolving in my understanding of who Yahweh is. I want to be evolving in my growth as His son. But I'm unchanging in the fact that I'm a navigable point of constant. And I just saw that in Jesus. When the Lord spoke to me in the middle of that sermon, and He said it wasn't even Jesus' storm. But He was still that point that they could look to and latch on to and believe in. And I want to encourage y'all, and I want to bless y'all in that church. Because, Brad, every one of us have that capacity to be that. That navigable. It's crucial in the fact that it's got to be navigable. Because there's some celestial objects up there, they're moving around. They might be over here, but they might be over here, and then they might be over here, and they might be... I can't use them as a point of reference. They shine, but I can't use them as a point of reference. They're anointed, but I can't use them as a point of reference. And the Lord's told me it's not enough to shine. Not enough to shine. Not enough to be anointed. If I'm all over the place, but I've got to be navigable. Then I'm always that point of reference. Always that point of reference. Because He's always that point of reference. Always. Let me read two verses to you, and we'll dismiss. Y'all turn to Jeremiah 17 real quick. Jeremiah 17. I love trees. The Lord speaks so much to me about trees and through trees. I go out west, and it's many places out west are void of trees, and typically the places that are void of trees, more often than not, are I don't want to say wastelands, but they're unproductive land. Trees do so much. In Jeremiah 17, verse 7, I'm reading out of the King James this morning. He said, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree," what? Planted. Planted. There should be only one time that I got unplanted, and that's when He transplanted me. When He transplanted me is the only time that I should have come unplanted in my life. I'm not speaking geographically here, guys. But I'm speaking in the fact that we are a navigable point of constant. "For he shall be as a tree planted," where? "By the waters. And that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Read that one more time. "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." I like that phrase, especially it says, "shall not be careful in the year of drought." Are y'all familiar with Proverbs 31? Who can find a virtuous woman? I can too. I married one. You did too. I've always considered you a very beautiful woman. And it's not because of physical attributes. You're pretty, but that's not what makes you beautiful. I can go to a strip club and see pretty girls, if it's a high-class strip club. Come on, y'all don't look at me through a religious lens. For the record, I've never been to a strip club in my life. That's gospel. I never have. Never have. But the reason that I have always viewed you as a beautiful woman, as a Proverbs 31 woman, is because of you have always been a navigable point of constant. That's about the highest praise I can heap on you, because you have been a navigable point of constant. I have known you and watched you for 20-something years now, Robin. I think we've been together for 20-something years, haven't we? And I'm sure there have been moments that I didn't see. I'm sure there have been. But every time I look, you know what I see? I see that North Star. Your faith and your trust has always been in Yahweh. So that makes you this awesome, amazing reference point. It makes you this awesome, amazing reference point. I lost my train of thought when I got in with that. But Proverbs 31, that's what got me there. In Proverbs 31, it talks about the virtuous woman, and toward the end of Proverbs 31, it said that she has no concern and no fear for the snow. It says she has no fear of the snow. You could fill that in and say no fear of the storm, because the word says that she has clothed her family, and I think the King James says scarlet and linen. She's clothed her family in something that will protect them from the storm. That'll, in that case, protect them from the snow. So she's like, let it snow. You know, we can sing Frozen, let it snow. You know why? Because they're well clothed. And one of the words that says, let the heathen rage. Heathen can rage. They can rage. I really, really have to take the media in really, really small doses, the news in extremely small doses right now, because I get angry. I watched about 15 minutes of the presidential debate the other night, and I just got angry at all of them, at all three parties. I was like, this is disgusting. It physically made me mad. But it was just the same way it was in 1801. And in 1859, and in 1774. But those things don't trouble me. Those things don't disturb me. You know why? Because I am locked in on a navigable point of constant. And you know who it is? My Father that sits on the throne. On my Jesus that is sitting next to Him. And the Word tells me that He loves me and He adores me and He is preparing me and that He's making intercession for me. That navigable point of constant. Let me read Psalm 1 right quick. No fear of snow. No fear of snow. Y'all know Psalm 1, don't you? Let me get there right quick. I'm going to read it anyway. I know you know it. I'm going to read it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Basically following his own path. I don't follow my path. I follow his path. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree, what? Planted. Shall be like a tree, what? Planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know what that is? It's a navigable point of constant. I believe with everything in me is that that is what I'm supposed to model before society. Not that I have 15 minutes of relevance. Not that I have 15 minutes of fame, so I'm going to blast out all the tweets that I can. That I'm gonna make all the noise I can for my brief moment. Because I'm not a shooting star, and you guys are not shooting stars. We're not a comet that passes every however many years Halley's Comet passes by. We were in Hawaii when that came over one year, and we were watching it up on one of the mountains, and it was amazingly clear because we were not around the city when it passed. You know what? I saw it one time. But you know what I see every day? The navigable points of constant. And that's what I want to declare over your life today. That's what I want you to desire to be in your life today. That's what God wants for you more than anything, Brett. Not man, God's man of power for the hour. We've all aspired to be that. I have, you have. Man, I got this word and I can't wait. Man, I'm going to hit a home run on this. I'm going to hit a grand slam and the altar's going to be full and people's going to get saved and lives are going to get turned around. And we've been in those moments and we participated in those moments and God's used us in those moments. And all of that is good and all of that is awesome. I heard Chris Volaton recently say, he said the church is the only organization I know that's trying to get back to something. And he said, we ought to be moving forward to something. I don't want to be God's man of power for the hour and a moment, and everybody can look at that shooting star and say, well, man, I got to see that. I want to be a navigable point of constant. And that's what God wants for you. Man, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask our worship team to come back up. Give you an opportunity to move if you want to move. Give you an opportunity to take communion if you want to take communion. Just come and, man, just come maybe with a thankful heart. You know what the most beautiful thing that I can give the Lord right now, I feel like, is a heart of gratitude. I really do, Paul. At this point in my life, is come in with a heart of gratitude and just say, thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done. Because you know what that does when I reflect and I'm in that moment, that's a kairos that propels me into the next moment. So whatever that looks like for you, man, I'm just glad I was able to come to church today. That I can walk around up here without the aid of crutches. With you guys, because I think y'all are awesome. I do. I think y'all are awesome, man. I've got just amazing. I see a lot of constants here, a lot of consistency here with people. I see that. I see that, an unwavering. And it's Him in you and Him flowing through you that's just doing that. It's not that we're going to hunker down and we're going to do this thing of endurance. So whatever you need to do today, if you have not been a navigable point of constant, then let it change today. Let it start today. Y'all, maybe you're new here and you haven't heard this before. Maybe you're listening to this podcast before. I have been pastoring a church for over 30 years, but I felt like I got born again and when I turned 50. Did y'all get that? I felt like I got born again when I was 50. Something changed and something shifted in my life. Something radically shifted in our lives when I turned 50. And then God started speaking just ridiculous stuff to me, Paul. Every year he'd come in and he'd start just speaking crazy stuff to me. I say crazy, it was natural to him. Sounds like stuff I'd speak over my grandkids, stuff I'd speak over my daughters. And he's like, ma'am, now we're on this amazing journey where you know my will. You're understanding my heart towards you. Now the journey is to get into the dreams that I have for you. That's the journey now. Those other things, they're put to rest. There's no wavering in that. I will never again wonder about God's heart for me. Does He love me? Does He care for me? What does He think about me? That has been solidified. That has been embedded, nailed down, branded into my heart. Never question that. Never question that. Now it's like, God, is this really your dreams for my life? He's absolutely. Eyes not seen and ears not heard. It's what I have for you. It's what I have for you. It's what He has for us. So, in saying that, it's not too late in your life for you to become a navigable point of constant. All it takes is a yes. All it takes is a yes. A big enough yes is all it takes. And if you will make that yes. All right? All right. Amen. God bless you guys. Altar is open. Encourage you to take communion with the Lord. I believe in that. Every time I'm here, I take communion. Encourage you to come and take communion. Just come down and worship Him. Go ahead, guys.
Planted by the streams of living water, and I want to be like a tree planted by the streams of living water. I want to be unmovable, unshakable. Let my roots grow down deep, unmovable, unshakable in You. I want to be unmovable, unshakable, so let my roots grow down deep, unmovable and unshakable in You. I want to be unmovable, unshakable, let my roots grow down deep, unmovable and unshakable in You. I wanna be unmovable and unshakable, so let my roots grow down deep, unmovable and unshakable in You. And I wanna be like a tree planted by the streams of living water, and I wanna be like a tree planted by the streams of living water, and I so let my roots grow down deep, unmovable and unshakable in You. I want to be unmovable and unshakable, let my roots grow down deep, unmovable and unshakable in you.
Sing that again.
I want to be unmovable and unshakable. Let my roots grow down me. Unmovable and unshakable in you. I want to be unmovable and unshakable. Let my roots grow down deep. Unmovable and unshakable in you. And I want to be like a tree planted by the streams of living water.
Let people know that you are there. Not just by word, but as James says, by deed also. With our Honduran friends down there, it's not a question, is Marty and Krista coming back? It's just how soon are they going to be able to get here? We got a young man down there we me and Lori have grown to love. And David Davy. Me and him are probably about as different as two cats can be. Whenever something comes up, just whenever the Lord prompts it on my heart, or Lori will say, hey, David's doing this or doing that, and we'll be like, man, let's send him some money. It's not just a money thing. Sometimes it's just dropping him an email or something and said, hey, man, Lord had you on my heart. We're praying for you. Love you, whatever. About a week ago, we did something. He was raising something for an awesome cause, and we sent him some money, and he sent us a message. He says, man, I love you guys. But you know what that was birthed out of? He's beginning to see us as a navigable point of constant in the fact that we're kingdom people. It's not just that's my American friends, he said, because what I don't want him to do, or anybody, what I don't want them to do, come in and say, man, Sid and Lori are awesome. I want them to look at us as a navigable point of constant. But I want them to ultimately look past us and through us and come into this firm confidence that Yahweh is my provider. And He loves me so crazy. So crazy good. That He's going to take people that are in another hemisphere. Well, I guess we're all technically Northern Hemisphere. We're in North America, though. He's going to take people that barely know me, but He's going to attach their heart to mine. And you can't attribute it to us, because it's not like we got all these amazing like interests. It's like, oh, that's my twin separated at birth. But it's Yahweh. It's Yahweh. You have to put yourself out there as that navigable point of constant. And until you view yourself as beloved, until you view yourself as His beloved, you will never be able to put yourself out there as a navigable point of constant. That's the foundation of it, guys. So if that needs to shift in you, I pray right now that shifts in you. I pray that shifts in you right now. Amen. Well, I've enjoyed today in the house, guys. It's been good. Been good, good, good. I hope y'all have an amazing week this week. And let that phrase stick with you, okay? If that's not even proper English, I don't care. It can be a seism. I believe God breathed on it. A navigable point of constant. Okay? You walk in that this week, Paul. You walk in that. Your property knows when a hireling's walking on it, and it knows when a son's walking on it. Because the son feels like a navigable point of constant. Does. Amen. All right, y'all ready to head? Lord, you got anything, baby? You good? Good? You good, brother? You got yours? Nick? Brett? You good? Senor Marty? You good, brother? Dismiss us in prayer, Senor Marty.